I know many of you packed shoeboxes, and they went 2 weeks ago. So the question is, you know, why are we talking about Operation Christmas Child? Well, I would like you to think about the fact that today we celebrate Operation Christmas Child. Because the very first rescue didn't come to a child, but Jesus was the very first Operation Christmas Child. A child came to rescue us. So, talked to Mary Harold, who heads up our Operation Christmas Child, and I asked her if I could borrow a box. But this box has different things in it, not the kind of things that probably you put in it. It also has the Christmas story. I wanted to get the one that they actually use for Operation Christmas Child, but they don't make that available. They use them all to go out to all the different countries, different languages, and they don't make them for public. So I went and I found one that is a very good telling of the Christmas story. Now, I've asked Gabrielle Winslow. She's a teacher at West Sable Christian. I want all the kids, like fifth grade and under, to come up because Gabby's going to read this story to you, and then you're going to help me unpack this box, and you guys are going to sit quietly while the kids are up here sitting quietly. So, all right? You guys come right up here, have a seat. I'm going to need your help unpacking this box. There you go, Miss Gabby. Is your microphone on? Oh, you can't sit there. That's where I sit. Okay, you guys sit right here. Well, she's a kindergarten teacher. You got to get closer. Come on.
A young woman named Mary was engaged to marry Joseph, a carpenter in the city of Nazareth in Galilee. God sent the angel Gabriel to visit Mary. The angel told her, "The Lord is with you, and you are greatly favored." Mary was troubled. She did not know what the angel meant. Then he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have been chosen by God. You will have a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, a king who will rule forever." Mary was so surprised. She did not understand how this amazing thing could happen. "How can this be?" she asked. The angel answered, "The child who will be born to you will be the Son of God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord." And Mary believed the angel. "Let it be as you have said," she replied. The angel of the Lord told Joseph about the coming of Jesus too. "Mary will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins," the angel said. Joseph must have been glad to know that the Savior was going to be born. He and Mary eagerly awaited the birth of Jesus. The people of Nazareth were excited. The Roman emperor had commanded them to enroll in the town or city their families had come from. No one dared to disobey him. Soon travelers were going in every direction. Joseph and Mary were going to Bethlehem, for they were both from the family of David. When they reached Bethlehem, the town was crowded with people. No place could be found for the new arrivals. The long journey from Nazareth had been hard, and Mary was desperately wanting a place to rest for the night. Joseph could only find the stable of an inn. That night, baby Jesus was born. Mary wrapped him in soft cloths called swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Shepherds were watching over their sheep that night near Bethlehem. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord came near, and a great light shone through the darkness. The shepherds were afraid. Why had the angel come to them? The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you great news of great joy, which will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord, and you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This was wonderful news. Then many angels appeared and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men." The angels returned to heaven, and the light faded in the still darkness of the night. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem now and see what the Lord has told us about." Leaving their flocks, they hurried to Bethlehem. There, in a stable, they found Mary, Joseph, and the infant Savior. Kneeling before the manger, they worshiped the little baby who lay quietly sleeping on the hay. On the way back to their flocks, the shepherds told everyone they met about the angel's visit and about the Savior's birth. When the baby was 8 days old, Joseph and Mary named him Jesus, the name the angel had chosen. The name Jesus means salvation. According to Jewish law, each family had to make an offering to the Lord for their first baby boy. Rich people gave a lamb, poor people, 2 young pigeons. When Jesus was 40 days old, Joseph and Mary took him to the temple at Jerusalem. They offered 2 pigeons to the Lord, for they were poor. Old Simeon was in the temple. God had promised him, "You will not die until you have seen the Savior." When Mary brought baby Jesus to the temple, God's Spirit helped Simeon to know that this child was the promised Savior. Simeon came eagerly to meet Mary and took the baby in his arms. "Now may God let me depart in peace, for I have seen with my eyes the salvation which he has sent," Simeon said. Anna was an old woman who had served God faithfully all her life. When she saw Jesus, she too gave thanks to God. Mary never forgot what Simeon and Anna said about Jesus, nor did she forget the story that the shepherds had told. She thought about these things and wondered how her son Jesus would finally become the Savior of the world. Far to the east of Judea lived certain wise men who studied the stars. One night they discovered a new star, and God helped them to know that Jesus had been born. These wise men followed Jesus and wanted to see the child who would be the Savior for the whole world. At once they planned to take rich gifts to go to worship him. Many days they traveled across the desert to Judea. They hurried to Jerusalem, for surely this wonderful child would be in the beautiful and famous city. Herod, the ruler, was troubled. "Why did these strangers ask, 'Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star and have come to worship him.'" Herod knew nothing about this new king. "What can this mean?" he wondered. Calling the chief priests and scribes, he demanded, "Where is the Savior going to be born?" The men remembered what the prophets had written long ago. They answered, "The Savior will be born in Bethlehem, and he will rule his people." Now Herod was even more worried. What if this new king took away his throne? Secretly, he called the wise men and said, "Go to Bethlehem and search for the young child. When you find him, let me know so I may come and worship him." Outside the city gates, the wise men saw the same bright star they had seen in the east. It seemed to lead them. At Bethlehem, the star stood still over the house where Jesus lived with Mary. At last, the wise men had found Jesus. Falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Opening their treasures, they gave him rich gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Before the wise men left Bethlehem, God told them in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they returned to their own country by another road. Not long afterwards, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph in a dream, "Get up, take the young child and his mother, and run to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you to return, for Herod will look for Jesus and try to kill him." Joseph got up, took Mary and Jesus, and hurried to Egypt. Herod waited a long time for the wise men to return from Bethlehem, but they never came. Maybe they had guessed why he was so eager to see Jesus. Now Herod was angry. He had not found the new king. Herod sent his soldiers to kill every child 2 years old or less in Bethlehem and in the country round about. He thought that this would get rid of Jesus, but Jesus was safe in Egypt. When Herod died, an angel told Joseph to return home, so they started back to Bethlehem. In Judea, Joseph learned that Herod's son was now the ruler. What if this new king was like his father? Because Joseph was afraid, they went on to Nazareth. Here, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus made their home and lived in peace for many years.
Thank you, Betty. All right, guys, I have some questions for you. All right. What are some of the things that people have put in the boxes that we send with Operation Christmas Child? What are some of the things? Go ahead, you guys.
Toys.
All right. That's any specific toy?
Teddy bears.
Okay, that's a good one. Go ahead.
Toothbrushes.
Oh, that.
Towels.
Wow. Did you get them like small size? Small size. Okay.
Pencils.
Clothes. All right. Anybody else? Oh, you guys already answered. Do you want to say one? God books? That's a good thing to put in there. Did you want to say one?
Candy.
Mmm. Did you eat some of it too? No. Oh, you're good then. Well, we have a box here, but it's not going to have what you guys put in your boxes. If this is Operation Christmas Child, and it's about Jesus, then what's going to be in here is things that we heard in the Bible or in this Bible story. So I'm going to open this, and I'm going to let a few of you take an item out of this box, and we're going to talk about, well, why is it in here? So let's see. People didn't know. You guys answered things. So, oh, you didn't. Here, pull one out. No, you can't look. Got to just pull it out. Oh, what do we have?
A star.
See, the star reminds us of a number of things when it comes to the story of Jesus. The star reminds us that Jesus is royalty. The wise men came looking for a king because what they saw in the stars told them that a king indeed had been born, even though Herod and the rest of them didn't know it. The star also reminds us that Jesus is the ruler of heaven, because this is the star that actually he had created, and now it was telling about him. You know what the star also reminds us? That Jesus is the light of the world, and that God wants to lead people to himself. Because remember, it was the star that led the wise men right to where Jesus had been. So we're going to put that one aside. Okay. No, you answered one. Sarah? What is that? A box? That's a feed box. That's the manger. What does the manger remind us? Why was Jesus born in a manger? You forgot? Okay. Jake, why was Jesus born in a manger? Well, let me say. You know why Jesus was born in a manger? Because, number one, there was no room in the inn. I mean, that's the obvious answer. But it was to remind us that Jesus came for everybody. The Bible tells us that he who was rich became poor for us, that we might become rich in him. Did you ever think about the message that the angels gave the shepherds? They said to them, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," or Messiah the Lord. And then they say the next phrase that if you were listening to that would make no sense. "And you will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes." That was the poor people's diapers, and lying in a manger. That made no sense. Here was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, being born into this world, and they lay him in a feed box. And it was to remind us that Jesus was the one who became poor for us, and that he came for everybody. So we'll put that up there. All right. Let me see. Oh, how about you pull one out? Oh, there we go. What is that?
An angel?
Oh, no, pretty close. What? A shepherd. The angels came to the shepherds. You know why the angels came to the shepherds? Because in that society, the shepherds were supposed to be like the last people to hear anything. People didn't think shepherds were very good people because they spent too much time out in the open field, and sometimes they smelled a little like their sheep. But remember, there was a famous king. What was his name? David. Well, Jesus is a famous king too. And he was a shepherd. And Jesus is born in his city. And Jesus is coming because he is going to be a shepherd. And he's going to be the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. But also, there's an important thing that happens with the shepherds. Do you remember what they say to each other? Let's go see. And after they saw, you know what they did? Let's go tell. Let's go tell. Because the shepherds went out telling everybody about what they had seen and about Jesus. Okay, I got one more item for now. Why don't you pick that up? Yep, right there. Oh, there we go. Now we have the angel. You know why the angels were so important? You see, throughout the Bible, the angels have always told what God's plan is with man. Did you know that the angels were part of the giving of the Ten Commandments, the law, back in the Old Testament? And the angels were the ones who always came in the book of Judges and told them that God was bringing deliverance. So now, when God is bringing deliverance, deliverance from sin, and deliverance to all of us, of course it's the angels who bring that message. They bring it to Zechariah, they bring it to Mary, they bring it to Joseph, they bring it to the shepherds, and then the star leads the wise men. And the angels, the Bible says that the angels are so curious. It says the angels long to look into these things. In other words, sometimes when the angel looks at Jesus coming to die for us, they kind of like go like this, like, why would he do that? And they marvel at how merciful God has been to us. You know what, guys? You've been a really good help. But you guys can go back. But I do have one more thing in here, and actually, you guys sit right on the front row. Can you guys sit right on that front row? You guys sit right on the front row, because I've got it. They don't want to move. All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, you can go right there. Because I want to talk to everybody for a little bit, and then I have one more thing to show you. Wow, I wish everybody wanted to stay. Thanks, guys. Listen, whenever they was spoken about Jesus, it was always a child of promise. If you go back to even Isaiah, when Isaiah was making prophecies about the coming Messiah, he said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace." How could you have a child who was called Mighty God and Eternal Father? The message there was, this is not just any child. This is the child of promise. This is God himself come to us. In fact, in the other passage in Isaiah, in Isaiah 7:14, it says, "The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and she will call him Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. I wonder what they thought that meant, God with us. Did that mean like God with us, like God's on our side? But do you realize that when the angel comes to Joseph and he explains what Emmanuel means, he says, the baby that is going to be born to Mary is born of the Holy Spirit, and that means God with us, because God himself in Jesus has come down, and God is living among us. Joseph was told that Jesus would save his people from their sins. Mary was told that Jesus would be the Son of the Highest, the Holy One. The shepherds were told that he would be that he was Messiah, Lord. But you know what? There was one person that when they talked about Jesus being the child of promise, they also gave the rest of the story. Do you know who that was? That was Simeon. He said to Mary, "This child will cause the rising and fall of many in Israel, and he will be the revealer of hearts, and a sword will pierce your heart, Mary." I'd like to read you a couple of statements in a minute. But guys, you know what? There's one more thing in here. It was underneath all the rest of them. So, can you reach down in there? What is that? Why would you put this in a child's box? What do you think, Jake? Okay. If we were putting it in a box, maybe we would help them learn to know about Jesus. But this is Jesus' box. He's the child of promise. But that promise came at a cost. They couldn't say Jesus will save his people from their sins if there wasn't a payment for sin. You couldn't say that there was going to be peace on earth if Jesus was not the one to pay that price for peace. You know what's interesting? A lot of the phrases that were used for Jesus in telling who he was came back at the time when he died. He was the Son of God. But as he was dying on the cross, do you remember what they said to him? "If you're the Son of God, why don't you come down from there?" He was the King of Israel. But as he died on the cross, do you remember where that was put? By Pilate, it was put above his head as a way to mock the fact that, well, for Pilate, it wasn't a mocking. For them, it was a mocking. It says, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And the King of the Jews, indeed he was, but he died. There are a lot of things. You see, Jesus could only be the child of promise, the son of promise, if he became the man of sorrows. And I want you to think about this, because, you know, we send a lot of these boxes. By the way, do you know when most of these boxes will find their way into somebody's hands? Not at Christmas time. It's going to be more like February and March. And some of them a little longer, because it takes a little longer to get to some of the places that they're going. But I want you to think about this. We send these boxes because we're seeking to take the message of the Christmas child, Jesus Christ, to these children. But the real message today and to us is that Jesus Christ indeed was the child of promise. He was the original Operation Christmas Child. Because if a child did not come, you and I would not be rescued. We're going to sing. Oh, by the way, you guys can go back with your parents. In fact, you need to go back with your parents. You're welcome. Bless you. I want to read you a few phrases. Just some reminders. Remember this. The Holy One of God came to die for the sins of unholy man. God was with us indeed, Emmanuel, but we didn't even recognize him, but instead despised and rejected him. The Son of God indeed he was, but he came to the sons of men who crucified him. But thank God that he was willing to do that, that we too might become sons of God. He was the Savior who paid the price for forgiveness. He was the peace of God with us because he died when we were his enemies. He indeed was the one who brought God's favor to dwell on us because God's wrath dwelt on him. He was the child of promise that had come so that he might become the man of sorrows. And that's what communion is about. It's kind of ironic because it's both a celebration and it also is a very sad reminder of what Jesus went through as the child of promise, that we could have the promises of God made in that child, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came here. He entered this world. He lived his life, a perfect life, and then he died a death. He died the death of a criminal. But it wasn't any of his crimes. They were all mine. They were all yours. But he died so that we would have forgiveness. The joy that the angels were singing about was the joy that we experience when Jesus Christ not only comes to the world as he did what we remember at Christmas, but the joy that comes to the heart of the person who knows the presence of God in their life, Emmanuel living, because the person who accepts Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit, lives in us, and God dwells with us. Where are you with God today? Are you on the outs? Do you know who he is? Do you have some ideas? Well, we're here to tell you that this is what it's about. Not only that, but this time of year is a time when we are to follow both the example of the shepherds and of Anna. Once they had met Jesus, they went and they told everybody. Anna went around. Have you ever been somewhere and somebody has entered the room and suddenly there's this little murmur that goes throughout the room because somebody entered the room? That's what Anna did when Jesus entered the temple. She was going around, "Larry, he's here, man. The consolation of Israel is here. Come on, man, you got to come over here and meet. Okay, there you go. All right, Joe, let's go, man. He is here." That's the joy that those who know Jesus just can't wait to introduce other people to him. Is that what you know? Or are you kind of lost that? So this is the time of year, and this communion is a good way to start that. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you came, and your coming ended at the cross for a moment. Because, Lord, you rose from the dead, and you went back to heaven, a conquering king who now sits at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. And one day you're coming back again. And all that is a reminder of what we do right here at communion. So please, Lord, as we take this communion, help it to reset our hearts. For the person who doesn't know Jesus, that would suddenly weigh heavily on them, and they would find out who Jesus really is. I pray that like the wise men, they will continue that search, and you will bring them along the pathway until they really do find out who you really are. In Jesus' name. Amen.